Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Apologist segment of ARC Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young. ARC Studies Live is the blogcast radio outreach of the Apologetic Research Center. ARC is a Christian ministry specializing in evangelism, Christian apologetics, and counterculture studies. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.arcstudies.org. Good afternoon and welcome to this special edition of ARC Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young, during this special edition. It's my hope to conclude or to continue my conversation with Mr. Emmanuel, who I was talking with earlier and who asked me to... who was anxious to continue his conversation, and I hope, in fact, that he does come back. I do have his number. Of course, I won't call him without his permission to call him. And the last time I scheduled an additional show for him, there were several other people who had called that weekend, and there were no shows. And it's possible to get tied up in a few things, but that's how come I specifically asked him to what time did he want to have this conversation. To recap, and if he doesn't show, a couple other things I'll talk about and maybe finish up the Hebrews chapter 5. So I will be out here at least for the duration of the show. I'll also be taking your questions and your comments. Again, this is just an open show this afternoon. I was hoping to talk to him, but it's also open and available to a couple of print, I don't want to say print war, but a print discussion. A couple of reasons I don't like to do that. I will engage for a little bit. And I do participate in message boards, have participated in message boards for about 18 years or so, 17, 18 years. But even with that, I don't participate in the basically I just type something and you type something. You never address what it is that has been discussed, let's see, or
I'm
sorry that I'm getting distracted while I'm talking to you, because at the same time I'm actually looking at a couple of message boards notices, because I just came back to my computer. As I said earlier, I had quite a few things that I had to do today, and I actually stopped doing one of them to make this 6 o'clock broadcast. All right, and so I hope that even if he can't make it now, that Mr. Emmanuel will at least have the integrity that wasn't shown by another individual, a Hebrew Israelite gentleman by the name of Yisrael, who had actually went out on the message board and said that I had not created the show, the one he asked me to create, so that we could have our discussion, and I had not done it. And that just lacks intellectual integrity, and I'm sure I'm sure he listens in because he let slip that in their Sabbath service that they were listening in. And I'm saying it because it's true. You know, it's one thing not to come. It's another to make up something like that to save face. At any rate, again, I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened earlier in my discussion with Emmanuel. It's still out there. You can listen to it. Just to recover a couple of things that we discussed and how we got there. I'll also be talking about issues related to Calvinism, and I'll be talking about that because there's another individual on a message board who wants to have this ongoing message board discussion with me, whereas he's not held accountable. And if you listen to the show earlier when I talked to Emmanuel, he basically was just all over the place and would run into a complete undermining contradiction of something he said and then move on. And I was able, you're able to hold someone to what they say in a conversation. But this guy, he's doing it in print, and he just wants to do this back and forth thing in print, and I'm not going to do it. And it appears to this point, at least, that he doesn't want to have the discussion, doesn't have to do it on air. That is not the intent, just to bring somebody on air. I always call out two numbers, 646-652-2905, if you'd like to participate on air. But even if you'd like to have the conversation, which I'm more than willing, and in fact would enjoy having the conversation off air, you can give me a call, 614-388-8838. That's a very easy number to remember, 614-388-8838. And we can have the discussion just one-on-one. It's just important to me that in the marketplace of ideas we're able to not only just say things, because we've become confused as to what true scholarship entails. We think it's just saying something, you know, or if we can make it make sense, or if we can reference something. True scholarship involves not only making charges or contending a particular thing and citing sources, it's vetting sources that aren't biblical, and the Bible is the source by which everything is vetted. All right, so at any rate, what I'm going to do now is I will take a brief musical interlude, try to give my buddy some time to show up. Because, again, he seemed to be chomping at the bit earlier. Don't get me wrong, I was going to do a second show anyway today, but I was really going to do a show at about 8 o'clock tonight because I have quite a few things that I'm not even done with. I stopped. I generally work 12 or better hours on any given week when you add in my drive time, because I literally drive an hour each way to my job. All right, so anything I work, you had 2 hours. One day this week, I left home for work at noon, and I got home from work at 3 a.m. The next night, I left for work at noon, and I got home at about 1:30, quarter to 2 a.m. And so I put a lot of hours into my week, so I have most of what I need to do around my house, individual things, you know, shampooing carpet, even just trying to relax and have some fun with family. I got to fit all this stuff into my couple of days. All right. And so I was going to do this broadcast at about 8, 9-ish. It allowed me to finish a whole lot of stuff. But because of Mr. Emmanuel, I did pull it earlier. So I hope, in fact, that he does show up. I know last time we had this discussion and he was due to show back. And he never did until today. And so I assumed that when he came back today that he had done some research, but I could tell he hadn't. Anyway, I'm going to take a brief musical interlude, And when I come back, I'll recap first what the discussion was about, some of the things we went over this morning. So I'll recap that. I'm going to drop the death knell on Calvinism, or on the tulip, and I'll address Calvinism. And I know that sounds a little cocky, but no, that's how easy it is. It's light work when you hold it up to the Word of God. And so I'll do that. I should be able to do that in short order. And if there's time left over, then we're going to go back into Hebrews chapter 5. So let's take a listen to Kirk Franklin, Imagine Me, and I'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you.
Gone.
By faith.
Gone.
Gone.
Gone. did, what your father did. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. All right. Welcome again to the Art Studies Live broadcast. It appears, at least this far, that Emmanuel is once again a no-show to this point. That's fine. We're going to continue on with the broadcast. And let's see. I'll recap some of, not some of, but I'll recap, you know, a good piece of what it was that we talked about earlier. I apologize again for being distracted, but I'm just, I get a ton of stuff anytime away from my computer for any length of time, and I am just kind of running through that. All right. So anyway, welcome to the Art Studies Live broadcast. I'm going to be talking about anything that you want to talk about. Feel free to give me a call. Area code 646-652-2905. Again, that's area code 646-652-2905. I'll also be taking any questions concerning anything related to the Word of God. Now, I always have to stipulate, that I'll answer any legitimate question, because in the Socratic world that now masquerades as a discussions about God and things related to God, what I am finding is that there are many individuals who will just ask some of the most outlandish questions, and for the most part, what they're doing is just looking for stumpers, what they call stumpers. They're individuals who prefer it's the engagement that they enjoy rather than seeking an answer to whatever the questions that they have. All right. Earlier during the broadcast, while I was talking about, we're in Hebrews chapter 5, trying to move forward, and this has been for a couple of weeks now. Keep getting taken off task to address sidebar issues. I apologize if it's disheveling to you, but I will always go sidebar to engage a question, because if someone has questions, I think it's a crime of the highest theological order that people don't attempt to provide answers. Again, I want to thank Bleedo for calling in this morning. We didn't have an extensive discussion, but I appreciate his calling in. Emmanuel, I appreciate your calling back as you did the last time. You know, hope you make it tonight. If not, I'm sure you'll call at some point in the future. If very well could be that you're just, maybe you're doing what I asked you to do, which is actually get all your ducks in a row, actually read the passages in the context of Scripture, more often than not, that'll answer your question rather than coming to me. I know it seems like I'm a stickler for that, and I absolutely am. I don't want to hear the Bible says this. You know, I want to hear the reference that you're citing. It doesn't matter if I know the reference you're citing. My reason for asking you to make sure you cite your reference is twofold. Number one, others listening may not know the reference. You're not giving them anything to look up. But I would say even more importantly, the main reason is I want to make sure you've actually read what you're talking about, which is the case this morning with Emmanuel. Emmanuel is not, at least by what he said, not today, but at a previous visit to the broadcast. Emmanuel said back then that he was not a Jehovah's Witness, but he leans to their what they teach because it appears to be true. And I, you know what? I can feel that. If you believe that there's truth to it, maybe you think it's not all truth. And that's why I can't second guess that. I'm not big on people joining groups. I think that too much goes into joining groups because people more easily submit to what is what I refer to as a cyanic relationship. You know, in that group, they can have the group think of measuring and comparing by and amongst themselves. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to get off these things. Things keep popping up. I apologize. All right. And so, at any rate, we don't want to be a part of that. What we want to do is we want to go to the Word of God, which is the final court of arbitration. As far as I could tell this morning, Emmanuel's call, the intent of the call, was to maybe clarify or address some issues. As a matter of fact, as I look up, it looks like Emmanuel has, in fact, joined us. How you doing, my brother? Hold on. I apologize. I thought I put your mic on. How you doing, Emmanuel?
I'm doing well.
All right. So did you get a chance to look over some stuff?
Yeah. I found the scripture that that we were referencing to. It was John 14:28.
Uh-huh.
Where Jesus references that that the Father is greater than him.
Right.
And I don't know. I think a lot of I've also just done a lot of studying and research, and I just hate the fact that Christians are so divided as a whole.
Okay, well, hold on. You found that verse. Let's go back to that verse now. What is mm-hmm. your point in the verse?
When I originally asked you earlier when we talked, I said to you, is not one of those persons in that Trinity greater than the other? And you said no. But this statement here that Jesus made, he's saying the Father is greater than him. So
well,
that will make what you said false.
No, actually, that wasn't what you said. You should know by now that I actually listen to you. In fact, I was going to go to this reference. I know the reference. All right. When you mm-hmm. ask me, are any persons greater? The reason why I need for you to look at it in context, because what you're doing is you're looking at greater in the sense of what? See, you're not just the what?
That the Father is more than the Son is.
What does that mean?
That he is more powerful. I mean,
this passage is not talking about power.
Well, if he's greater, then he's greater. That's
and what does
I
that mean?
Mean?
But you're defining it as if you're defining it as if there is. I'll give you a good example. Okay, I'm in management for a Fortune 500 company. All right,
mm-hmm.
I'm greater than the sum total of all the people that work for me. But
mm-hmm.
I'm not greater than them by nature. That has nothing to do with nature. It has to do with authority.
Well, in authority,
The Father is the Son submits to the will of the Father.
So that means
absolutely.
Jesus is not greater. So that means he has to do the will of somebody, which makes him not God.
Well, how would that make him not God?
Because God submits to no one. God is everything.
Who said? See, you're making it up as you go along. Give me a reference for that.
that God submits, that God is a jealous God. What do you mean?
What is that? What does God being a jealous God have to do with anything? God submits
that means
to anything.
That he's not submitting to anyone. He doesn't have to submit to anyone. I mean,
well, it's not
who's
a matter
greater
of
than God.
He,
I mean,
it has. You see, now let me. This is your problem. And if you've ever listened to any of my shows on the Trinity, I've often said the reason why we misunderstand God, and it's difficult for us to understand the doctrine of the Trinity, is because we cannot stand to see, or we can't fathom, a submission that does not involve either you're stronger than someone, and that's why you submit, they got more authority than you, and that's why you submit, they have more influence than you, that's why you submit, or they got more money. And then I go on to point out that's exactly why companies and countries topple. Because the moment I think I have as much money as you, physical power as you, authority as you, or finances as you, I'm going to challenge you for the top, or I'm going to break off and start my own. See, what you're doing is you're holding God to human avarice. There is none of that with God. It is a willful submission for the sake of order. Just like you think that, let me ask you a question. Okay, are you married?
No.
Okay. Do you think why that men are better than women?
No.
Okay.
I believe that men are the head of the household according to the scriptures. Well,
why? Because they're smarter?
No. The Bible says that man was formed first.
So the man is a household because the man was formed first. Okay, so is it because he's stronger?
No, it's not because stronger attribute. It's just that's the way God wanted it to be.
So, well, let me read something to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things to keep the traditions as I've delivered them to you. I want you to know the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. He used the relationship of man of between he and the Father to illustrate the relationship of a husband and wife. It has nothing to do with better, stronger, richer. Has nothing to do with anything other than order. And so when Christ submits to the will of the Father, it's order. That's all.
If he said that the Father was greater than him, we can't take that nowhere else, but that's what it is.
Oh, and I accept
that's
what
just,
it is. But what I don't do is I don't take God and make him a man. Because you see, you're seeing greater as that means God's stronger than him. And
so,
would
you not agree that the angels have rank in heaven as well, and some are greater than others?
Well, yeah, there are archangels and there are regular angels. Arch means chief angels, absolutely.
There's only one archangel. There's
no
other reference to another. There's no other reference to any other archangel.
Yes, there is.
You said foremost princes, and it does not say archangel.
No, it referenced Michael as one of the chief angels.
One of the foremost princes as well.
Okay, well, you have one of two things you can do with that passage, and I'm going to actually go there because that's what I do. I'm not going to just have a philosophical discussion, all right? And if we have to, we'll read the whole chapter so that you can see, like sometimes angels are called sons of God. How about Job?
Yeah.
So now they're
not
angels. Okay, well, men are sons of God. Are men angels? Let's not get goofy.
We
are
sons of God, yes. We are sons of God.
But we're
not angels.
Are we angels?
No.
Okay.
No, we're not angels.
So let's not, so are angels men?
No.
So why are they called sons of God? It's just a metaphor. It's not that hard. It's just a metaphor. So let's not get cute and try to hide. All right? Michael is an angel, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay. All right? In this passage, Michael, the prince of the power of Persia, is a reference to Satan and his horde. Is Satan an angel?
He was at one point.
Okay, well, yeah, okay. Well, Satan, well, he's a fallen angel. So he's just a fallen angel. So let's not get cute when we're reading this passage, that just like angels are called sons in a passage of Scripture, and Satan is there, and he's also called by that metaphor a son of God. Let's not get cute. Here, angels are called by metaphor princes. And if you actually read through the chapter, then you'll see that. Now, let's read what he says. 3 weeks after Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, the angel showed up and said, do not fear, Daniel. Matter of fact, I'm going to read this for you. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was in mourning for 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till the 3 weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded about with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like burley. His face was like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes were like torches of fire. His arms and his feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his word were like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled and hid themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me. I retained no strength, yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face to the ground. Then suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking these words to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the kings of Persia. All right? Now, unless you want to create a third class of beings that are not angels, there's like a group of princes. It's just a metaphor. Michael is an angel. It's a metaphor. Yeah. An angel showed up to him, and Michael is called one of the archprinces or archangels.
You're replacing. If it wanted to say archangel, it would have archangels with a plural. It would have said that many princes in heaven. Many would argue with you to say that Satan was a prince because his influence was so great.
I don't care what many would say. I'm reading the text of Scripture. See, you want to run into somewhere else. The text of Scripture.
The text of the Scripture does not say archangel, so you can't go with that.
It does. It says, are you saying that these aren't angels in this passage?
The foremost princes were probably angels. There were men. They're seraphs. They're cherubs. They are all princes to God, but that does not mean they're archangels.
Who are all princes to God?
The bottom line is Michael is the most high angel.
No,
that's the bottom line.
Who are you talking about?
The Bible only references to two angels' names, Gabriel and Michael.
I'm not going to have a philosophical discussion with you. We're going to read Scripture, something you don't do. In this passage, who are the princes? Are you saying that Michael is not an angel now? Because princes in this passage, just like the prince of Persia, who is that? See, that's not
the
an
devil.
Angel.
Satan.
Oh, so it is a fallen angel. So you recognize fallen angels are called princes. but you don't recognize.
He is the God of the system of things. We know that.
No, I'm not talking about anything else. No, I'm not going anywhere else because he's not the only one.
The Prince of Persia was Satan. We know that.
He's not the only one. Okay? Now, Satan in this passage is called a prince. And Michael is called a prince. What do Michael and Satan have in common?
They were once brothers. They both were angels. What do you mean?
No, they weren't brothers.
How could they not have been brothers? He's a fallen angel.
Okay, angels aren't born.
They were brothers under God.
No, they're not.
They were
brothers
at one point. That's all
you.
We know that's a fact.
Well, where's the say that at, Dan?
That they were once brethren? How could you not recognize that? If he's a fallen angel, he was once in glory at one point.
You see what you keep doing? Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord God with all your heart, and I don't care what you think. Don't lean to your own understanding. What you keep saying is, well, you know that this is this. Well, yeah, we know this is this. Scripture commands that you don't do that. Now, I'm going to a text of Scripture. You want to keep appealing to human reason.
Okay. So do you want me to prove? I'm going to prove to you right now.
Well,
let's go to Job. Let's go to Job. Let's go to the book of Job.
We're not going to Job.
Let's go to the book of Job.
We are not going to Job yet. We are going there, but not right now. We're going to stay here. I'm not going to allow you to just bounce around.
Where were you when all the angels screamed, holy, holy is the Lord thy God?
I am not going to allow you to just bounce around rather than face the reality of your error. I allowed you to do that multiple times earlier.
Your error is you're trying to make Prince's archangel, and you can't do that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's say they're not. What are princes?
Princes could be people. Princes could be human beings. You can't just say that means archangel because it's a prince. It says princes.
Emmanuel.
We don't know the order of heaven.
I am not having a philosophical discussion in this.
You're assuming.
In this passage, who are princes?
In this passage, the princes, one of the foremost princes, one of the foremost people who stand before God. We don't know who they are.
No,
we don't know them by name. The Bible has not made it clear who those people are.
Emmanuel, not one of the foremost, doesn't say that. The Hebrew word is chief.
No, it doesn't say that.
Chief. Well, the Hebrew word does. See, what happens
one of the one of the chief princes. For all we know, when it comes to archangel, the only archangel reference is Michael.
Not for all we know, who is one of the chief princes?
Michael is one.
So Michael is one of the chief princes, it says in this passage, right? Okay, who are princes in this passage?
The other one was the Prince of Persia, Satan.
And who is that? And what do Michael and Satan have in common?
One is the ruler of the system things, and the other one is the ruler of heaven.
No, that's not what they have in common. What they have in common is that both of them are of the species of angel. Both of them are. One fallen, and the other not. But they're both angels.
Yes.
Both of them are. All right? So, Prince, then, is a metaphor for angel, because that's what they both are, unless you want to come with something else in Scripture to show otherwise.
No, it doesn't. There have been princes called on the earth to reference in the Bible. It means nothing.
No, there's a lot of people called princes. You're right. The word can be used anywhere. But in this passage, see, that's your problem. What you need to do is you need to learn to look at the Word of God, and even if it says what you don't like, you got to accept it. Let God.
I'm not going to accept what's not in there in black and white. It does not say that the archangel means princes. Sorry, it doesn't say that.
What does archangel mean?
Chief angel.
That's all it means.
And it doesn't mean plural.
It means
one.
No, it doesn't mean one. Archangel is chief angel. Okay, Michael is called one of these chief angels. Not the only one. He's called one of a collective.
So where are they at? How come they're not mentioned in the Bible at all?
How come God doesn't mention making
the only one doing acts of any authority?
Hold on. I'm going to answer your question. How come the Bible doesn't say that God made water striders? And before you think that's...
Because it's not important. Because
it's not
important.
It's not because it's not important. I'm going to tell you why it doesn't. Because the Bible is not an encyclopedia that just lists everything you think it should list. So you say, well, how come he doesn't mention other archangels' names? Who are you to question God? Who are you?
I'm not questioning God.
You are.
Because there are no other archangels.
Then the word of God, your word of God is a lie, because mine says Michael's one of a collective.
That says the same thing in my
Unless
word
you
as well.
Michael be two species. Michael is a species of chief angels, in which he's the only one, and chief princes, which... He's one of a collective. According to your theology, he's one of the chief princes who, you know, Satan is also a prince. The only thing those two have in common is that they're angels, but you don't want to see that because it collapses your theology. Yet,
I agree with that. How could you say I don't want to see that when I agree with it?
You don't agree with it.
I agree with that. I agree that they have in common that they're both angels. I agree.
They're both angels. Okay, and they're both called princes. Okay?
Yes.
So they're two things. They're two things.
Yes. Yes.
Okay? So you don't see that prince is a metaphor for angel, but you see sons of God in Job, where you want to go, is a metaphor for angels.
What I'm telling you is...
So then sons of God cannot be a metaphor for angels in Job.
There are princes. Do I believe that there are? I believe the Apostle Paul is a prince in heaven right now. I mean, there are many princes in heaven.
I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think. It doesn't matter what you think. What can you demonstrate in the Word of God? That's your problem. You think that because you can concoct it, that somehow it's equal to Scripture. What can you demonstrate from Scripture? Now, what I'm demonstrating from Scripture is two things. I brought up Job to show that those are angels, but hey, they're called sons of God. Well, they can't be sons of God because, you know, they're angels. Oh, how about the fact that it's a metaphor? It's clear that Satan must be three things, Dan. He must be a prince, a fallen angel, and a son of God. Or how about the fact that those are just metaphors for what that species of angel?
No,
now,
it's not.
It is not.
Every angel is not a prince in heaven.
Well,
every man is not a prince on earth.
No,
what are you
talking about, man?
What
are you talking about? I never said anything
about
every
man. You're saying that every angel in the heavens is a prince. That's not true.
I never said that. That's a lie. You just lied.
Well, you just said it's a metaphor for what angels are.
No, that's not true. Okay, now I'm going to clarify for you again, all right, because I don't like you to go online. I said in this passage, do you notice how I keep anchoring it to Scripture, and you want to have this free-floating philosophical discussion? In this passage, the word prince is used as a metaphor for angels. Satan is called the prince of Persia. Michael is called one of a collective of chief princes. Not the only one. He's one of a collection of others. Now, I know that explodes the myth that witnesses have concocted that Jesus is the archangel Michael. And what's interesting is that you won't read in this text, there's not one shred of Scripture that even indicates that Jesus is Michael the archangel. You come to that conclusion because you all say, well, there's only one archangel. Let me follow that line of folly. Let's say there was one archangel. Does not mean it's Jesus. It could be, how do you know that archangel is not Archangel Tony or somebody else? You cannot make that. There's no connection between the two. You conclude there's only one archangel, and that archangel shout when Christ returns. Now, you ignore the fact that so does a trumpet and a few other things, but you don't
think
Jesus...
He's coming with a commanding archangel's call. That's what it says.
Well, No, it does not say that. It does not.
My scripture says the exact same thing. You see, you act like Jehovah's Witnesses rewrote the Bible. Mine says Michael, one of the foremost princes as well.
You have not read the Bible. You have not written the Bible. And, in fact, you know nothing about Greek. Nothing.
Okay.
And so
what you just said was.
It's not a translation.
You said that the Jehovah's Witness Bible.
Now,
you're saying that the Witness Bible.
The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. There's multiple things that accompany his coming back. Not only that, a shout of an archangel will shout. Archangel's like, here he comes. A trumpet blows, but we make him the archangel, but we don't make him the trumpet. Those are just sounds that accompany and show us that this time is coming. It nowhere says that it says when he comes, these things will be with him. Not that he's an archangel. It says nothing about that. You jumped there. Now, when I show you where Michael's called one of the chief princes, oh, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say prince can't be angel. But then you read this and you say, well, from this, Jesus is Michael the archangel, though it says nothing like that in the text. That is the worst case.
You know, I really find it really interesting. First of all, I didn't jump all over the place. I was staying in Daniel. And
no, you didn't.
You read one part of Daniel, but you didn't include Daniel 21, which reads, however, I am writing the truth, and there is no one holding strongly with me in these things but Michael, the prince of you people. Okay.
Yes.
So Michael is the prince. Michael is the prince of the people.
Israel.
Of Israel.
At that time,
correct?
Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. This is Michael. Michael is the archangel assigned to Israel.
Yes.
Read chapter 12, verse 1. Over the children of Israel. So, yes, he is the prince of those people.
Yes. So, what does that tell you?
That tells me that he's the chief prince over Israel. That's what it tells
okay.
me. But he's not the only chief prince. Because he's one of a collection of chief princes. So forth. Listen to this. How about if he's one of...
It doesn't say that there.
Hold on. If Michael is the chief prince of Israel, and he's one of other chief princes, then maybe you as a black man got a chief archangel or chief prince who's the prince over your people.
There is no prince over our people.
Michael's not over you. He's over Israel.
We have become all one people after
No, we have
God
not.
Divorced Israel.
No, we have not. You need to read Romans 11. Romans 11 says, no, there's no replacement theology. Israel is still out there, and in fact, he rebukes them for thinking God's done with them. You know, he says he will graft them back in, and if you keep acting up, you'll be out. No, it's not one just like he's done with them. No, there's a remnant of them. But that's a different issue. That's your sidebar to get out of your point, because actually you proved my point. Yes, Michael is an archangel or chief angel or chief prince of Israel. But what's interesting is he is only one of a selection or a group of chief princes. Or arch-princes, or archangels, or chief angels.
Go to Revelation 12:7.
Why
I'll
are we going
it.
To Revelation 12:7?
Because we're on this Michael point, in which I really just wanted to stay in Daniel. I wanted to stay in Daniel, but...
So you want to show that Michael had a war fought with Satan, so?
Okay, we're gonna read this, okay? Because we're not going to talk about, we're going to, like you said to me earlier, that we're going to read. And that's exactly
what
we're
going to
do.
I'm not going to let you just jump around on unrelevant stuff, but go ahead and read. I'll let you read it.
It says, and a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled with the dragon and his angels. But
right.
It did not prevail, neither was a place found for them any longer in heaven. So down the great dragon was hurled the original serpent, the one called Devil and Satan, who was misleading the entire inhabitant of the earth. Now, Michael is the one doing the battling
Michael and his angels. That's telling you that there is no other one in the heaven.
No, it does not.
More powerful than Michael.
No, you. Okay, where's that?
Unless you want to say the Lord has several armies.
No, what I'm telling you is that you have no idea what you're talking about. Michael is an archangel or a chief angel. If he's a chief angel and he's one of a collection of chief angels, it stands to reason that each of the chief angels or chief princes have groups under them. That's a no-brainer. So
no,
just because
no.
Michael has angels up under him, so what?
So are you saying that the God has 10 different armies in heaven? The heavens became divided when Satan divided the heavens.
No, I'm not saying that's what you said, because you see, there you go.
I mean, you're telling me that there's a collective of different armies.
Don't lie on me. That's a lie. Don't be a liar.
Okay. Well,
don't be
a liar. You got to be clear with what you're saying then.
No, I am clear what I say. I said nothing like that. You made that up because you realized you came here and stuck your foot in your mouth again.
How did I do that?
Hold on. Michael is one of a collection of chief princes or chief angels or archangels. Uh-huh. And it's clear up under them there are other angels. Otherwise, they couldn't be called a chief angel. If there were nobody up under them, then they wouldn't be a chief angel. It's like priest, Hierius. Chief priest, arch, Hierius. That means that he's in charge of these groups of priests. Absolutely. Does that mean that, mm-hmm. There's multiple armies in heaven? No, it just means that angels are structured. Simple as that. You're the one who got to come up with something ridiculous.
Right here in this particular scripture, the division is with Satan.
I'm going to make you continue to read, all right? Because I know your theology. Your theology is he was Michael the Archangel. He became Jesus Christ. And I guess now you want to say he went back to being Michael. But let's read. A war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail. And by the way, this passage illustrates the point that I illustrated for you, is that, yes, Satan is still an angel. When I asked you, was he an angel? You say he's a demon. And a demon is a word we use to describe fallen angels. This passage says, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. All right? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. And so here, while you're talking about Michael, they're also praising God and Christ in the same passage. But you said Christ is Michael. So why would they refer to something else?
And it also tells you the authority of his Christ. Who was the person in authority at that point?
Why would they, in this passage, you brought me to again. Michael's brought here. Michael is clearly shown to be a servant of heaven. And he is as a created being, because angels are created, and Christ was not created. All right? And we'll get back to that in a moment. Michael, a created being, fights a war, throws Satan out of heaven, and then the praise goes to the Father and Christ. Not the Father and Michael. The Father and Christ.
Okay.
In the passage you brought me to.
It says the power of his Christ. That means the power of God's anointed one, who is Michael.
No, where did you get that from? Where did you get that from?
That's what it... You just read it yourself, and now you don't know where I'm getting it from. Okay. It says, now come to pass the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and authority of his anointed one, which means Christ. Because an accuser of our brothers has been hurled down, who accuses them night and day before our God.
Absolutely.
So, the power. Who was using the power? Who was hurling someone?
Don't come up with
Michael. That's power. That's the Christ.
No, Michael fought a battle. This wasn't a matter of authority, because authority is something entirely different. Exousia is entirely a different authority.
It says
not
our
ability. It's
salvation and power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. So when you tell me.
Hold on. I don't want you to miss that again. Did Michael cast Satan out by his ability or by authority?
By his authority.
Oh, you fought a war by his authority. Let's read and see if it says that. A war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels used their authority against the dragons, and the dragons and his angels fought their authority.
And
they did not prevail against his
authority. Doesn't say ability either.
They did not prevail against his authority, and there was no place found in heaven. That's because Michael and them fought a war. It wasn't authority to cast him out. It was a war. When it speaks of Christ, it speaks only of his authority, his exousia. If you have access to anything, you got your computer, pull it up and look up the Greek word. See, because there's a word for ability.
This wouldn't be the first time that Satan and Michael have battled. They battled in Persia as well, correct?
I don't want to even, that has nothing to do with what I'm, see what it is that you realize again, your foot is in your mouth. Because you just did this diatribe about, see, he used his power. This is him using power, because you are interpreting power as ability. And that's not the Greek word at all. It's not. It's authority. Christ has
Michael has more authority in heaven over Satan. Bottom line.
Satan has no authority. Let me show you something again. I'm going to show you something where you are. Let's look at Satan's authority. All right, let's go one back one book to the book of Jude. This is what Scripture says.
I never said Satan had authority in heaven. I never said that. I don't want to have that argument.
You just said that.
I said Michael had more authority over Satan had in heaven. That's all I said. I'm not saying Satan had authority, but we do know that Satan was a high-ranked angel because he influenced many. He influenced a third of angels.
So you realize you stuck your foot in your mouth again. Let me show you how you did. Because if I say I have more authority than you, I am saying you have authority, but I just have more than you. So you did say Satan had authority in heaven. Michael just had more authority, according to you. But anyway, let's look at how Michael functions. In the book of Jude, this is what he has to say at verse 8. Likewise, these dreamers of dreams, devout of flesh, reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. All right, now dignitaries is another metaphor for angels, unless you want to make another fourth group. Because he goes on to say, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but instead said, the Lord rebuke you. So Michael did nothing to Satan by his own authority. He dared not do that.
Yes. That's correct.
You just told me he had more authority than Satan.
Authority was not yet given to him. That was when he was disputing. He was disputing over Moses' body. That was in Moses' time. So you know the dogma. You know the dogma. He was not given authority until he died on the cross. You know that. You know that. You know that.
But you can say you know that.
But you know that. You know what I believe. And you know that witnesses do not believe he always had authority to do something to Satan until he died on the cross.
That's when authority
was given to him.
Okay. Well, and he ceased to be Michael at that point, too.
What do you mean? How did he cease?
To be Michael. He became the Christ. He was recreated. Because that
he,
is
when he returned to heaven, he was given more glory than he originally had.
Okay, let me put it out there for people.
Read Hebrews, man. Aren't you doing a show on the book of Hebrews right now?
We don't need to read Hebrews. What I'm going to do is put out
it tells you he became better than the other angels. Read the book, man. Read the book.
Don't try to talk over me. You realize you said something, I'm going to expose it. All right? So just be exposed. All right? Just be exposed. But Jehovah's Witnesses speak is that Jesus Christ did not, he was not resurrected. Jesus, Michael the Archangel, came to the earth. And by the way, that the Mormons almost teach that same thing. But Jesus, who was Michael the Archangel in pre-incarnation, all right, when he was crucified, he was not resurrected. God recreated him as a new being. That's what you believe. So then,
yes,
how are
one
you
of the 144,000.
Okay, so Jesus is one of the 144,000. Where's the 144,000?
He's the head of the 144,000.
Well, I don't know where you get that from. We're not going down that road, all right? Because there's a whole lot of goofy stuff that you guys hold to. We're not going to going down that road, all right? But according to you, according to your doctrine, he's no longer Michael the Archangel yet. You interpret.
Well, who said that? No. I never said that. He was not Michael. He's still Michael.
It doesn't matter.
He's still Michael. He's still Michael. I never said that he was not Michael anymore.
No, you guys teach that he was recreated as a higher form as God remembered him, and he became the anointed.
We don't say he was recreated. He was given a higher position in the heavens over all the angels. Hebrews confirms that.
So he was given a position. When was he given that?
Read the book of Hebrews, man.
No, when was he given that?
After he died, when he returned to heaven, he was given a higher position to sit at the right hand of God.
Okay, now I'm getting ready to straighten you out again. I'm in Hebrews chapter 1. All right?
Yes.
When he brings, listen to what he says. All right? I'm going to start from verse
1. Which verse?
Hebrews 1.
One verse.
Verse 1.
Give me the verse. Okay, go ahead.
Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the Father by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today have I begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." And that's Psalms 2:7. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he said, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you,
exactly.
Hold on.
What does that mean?
And he, hold on.
God exalted him.
Hold on.
He's
hold
not
on.
God.
Hold on. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands.
Your hands, yes.
They will perish, but you will remain, and they will grow like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are not they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who inherit salvation. All right.
Yes.
Now, because this exploded everything you said. Let's talk
that
about
that proved
what
all
what
my
did.
Point.
No, it did not. It did not. Because this passage.
It says he has become better than the other angels and inherited.
Where does it say that?
You just skipped over that part. Inherited.
No, I read the whole chapter.
Inherited a greater name than them. So that's telling you that he became better after he was purged.
Emmanuel, I read through the whole chapter. What verse said that? You said, do you realize that? Let me tell you something. You lied on me again. I don't know why you have to lie. You said I skipped over it. I read from verse 1 to verse 14.
You speeded past that verse. You read it, but you speeded right past it and ignored it completely.
I kept telling you, hold on so I could finish. See, because you haven't read the passage, so what you want
to
do is...
I've read Hebrews many times. I've proved it to many Trinitarians that Christ is not God.
You've never read it. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to show you what you thought you were talking about. All right? First of all, let's go back to... All right.
Can I please read it this time?
Can I read it as well from my Bible?
Read
from verse 1 through verse 14. You want to read through the whole thing? Go ahead.
Yes. It says, God, who long ago spoke on many occasions in many ways to our forefathers by means of the prophets, has at the end of these days spoken to us by means of a son. Now, I'm going to keep going, but that confirms that God was the mediator, that Jesus was the mediator through man and
God. No one disagrees
with
that. Continue to read.
And it says, whom he appointed heir, what does heir mean? Okay, you decide that for yourself, of all things. And through him, the system of things were made.
No, not
he
system
is a reflection.
No, not he system a thing. He made the entire cosmos, the worlds.
Okay, well, translation, we mean the same thing. Okay,
no,
it says
don't.
He is the reflection.
No,
it says
don't
he,
mean the same.
He
system
is the reflection
thing.
Of.
What you're talking about is what's a revolving.
Do you want me to get the King James Bible and read it out the King James Bible?
No,
it doesn't make
just
a difference.
Want you to read straight through and start giving me an interpretation of an interpretation.
I'm reading it from my Bible. You read it from yours. I'm reading it from
yours.
Okay,
mine. Read straight through then, like I did.
Okay, and it says, he is the exact reflection of his glory, the exact representation of his very being. He sustains all things by the power of his word. And after he made purification of our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty in lofty places. So he has become better than the angels, and to the extent that he inherited a name more excellent than theirs. For example, to which one of you angels did he ever say, you are my son, I today have become your father? And again, I myself shall become his father, and he shall become my son. But when he brings his firstborn into the inhabited earth and says, let all angels do obeisance to him. Also,
no.
With reference to
no.
the angels.
No. Okay, go ahead. I'll let you go. We'll deal with your duel.
And also to the angels, he says, and he makes himself angel spirits, and he makes his angel spirits and his public servants a flame of fire. But with reference to the Son, God is your throne forever and ever, and the scepter is yours, the kingdom and the scepter of uprightness. You love righteousness and hated lawlessness. That is why God, your God, appointed you with the oil of exaltation more than your partners. And you at the beginning, O Lord, laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens and the works of your hands. They themselves will perish, but you yourself are remaining continually. And just like an outer garment, they will grow old. And you will wrap them up just as a cloak, as an outer garment, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never run out. So, again, you read the exact same scripture.
Okay, well,
some words are different.
You know what? No, it's not different. Now what I'm going to do is correct a couple of things that the New World Translation does. Okay? Number one, you added, let me first give you the overall. All right, let's go back to verse 3. You see, because what Hebrews is talking about is the man Christ Jesus. Now, what Scripture teaches is that God put on human flesh. God put on human
doesn't.
Flesh.
Okay, Bible doesn't teach that.
The Bible doesn't.
You find that for
okay.
me, please.
Okay, I'm gonna find that. I'm gonna give you a couple of verses. All right, you got pencil and paper. I want you to write these down. All right.
I won't write them down. I want to read them right now.
Write them.
Read them to me.
Okay, and I want you to write them down too. All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God
mm-hmm.
was the Word.
Okay.
Now you got that.
You know that's
so we identify the Word. Hold on. Now go down to verse 14. Now, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. God was the
yes.
Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. God put on flesh. That's one. Let me give you another.
Theos is not God Almighty. Theon is.
There's no such thing.
You know
that's
Hebrew.
A lie.
You
know nothing
Hebrew.
About Hebrew. Theon is
you know
genitive.
Hebrew,
it's,
and I do
on.
Too.
I do.
So you know
Hebrew, that's
that Theos and Theon are
hold
two
on.
Different
Emmanuel.
Beings.
Emmanuel, you're making yourself sound really ignorant. Because this is
no.
Greek, not Hebrew. It's Greek.
Yes.
That's the first
and Theos.
Thing. The second thing is,
they call,
the
in fact, they called Zeus a Theos. What do you mean?
The second thing
like,
is, it's a Greek. Listen, it's a Greek word. The word translates God. Now, when you talk about
okay.
Theou, Theon, Theos, all that
Theon,
is what.
Listen, Theon and
listen,
Theos
listen.
Are two different words.
That, you have no idea what you're talking about. You know nothing about Greek.
All
Theon
I know
is,
that
listen,
all I know is Theon means God Almighty.
No, you don't know. No, you don't know.
And
Theos
can mean
okay,
it can mean anybody of
stop,
great renown.
Dude, stop talking. I know you don't want to hear, but stop talking because you know nothing about Greek. Theou is just
okay.
genitive. You have nominative, accusative,
okay.
genitive parts of speech. It depends on where it is. In a sense, I'll give you a good example. What you misquoted, or your Bible tries to misquote, because it's not a translation, in 1:9 of Hebrew, you said, God is your throne. That is not what it says. It says, Hathronos, Hathaos, in Greek. Hathronos,
yes.
Hathaos. All right? That's the accusative, and the Hathronos, Hathaos, is genitive. The second part is genitive. So it's saying the throne of God. If you don't know Greek, don't portray like you do. I do read Greek
okay.
and I translate. So don't. And, or
so is there no since you know
and,
Greek?
Or,
is there
it,
no
or
distinct?
Hebrew, no, don't, dude. We're not going to do this. I'm not done yet. All right.
Okay.
This passage is clear, and it's actually. Are you there? Because you wanted to read it. Are you still at John 1?
Yeah.
Okay, well, read verses 1 all the way to verse 3 in your Bible.
In the beginning, the Word was. In the beginning, the Word was. And the Word was with God. And the Word was a God. This one, in the beginning, with God, all things came into existence through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into existence.
Apart from all things. Everything came into
yes.
existence, all one.
Yes.
And apart from him, not even one thing has come
exactly.
into existence that has come into existence. Not even.
Yes.
Your theology
yes.
is, or the witness theology is, he is the one thing that came into existence apart from him, and then through him, Jehovah God made everything else. That's your theology.
Yes.
That verse
yes.
in your Bible violates that theology.
That's not true. How does it? It means without
okay.
him, no other things were made.
Hold on. No, don't
that's
try to play
saying.
It off now. Play it off now.
That's what
read
it says.
Just read your Bible. Don't
it says, apart from him, not even one
not
thing came into
even.
Existence. It says, beside, what does apart mean? We discussed this last time. Besides him, not one other thing came into existence. That means the angels,
gonna,
the heavens, the thrones, nothing came
dude,
before him.
This, I'm going to, because you're afraid to read your Bible, I shall go through it.
I just read it.
No, you
didn't. I just read it.
You tried to read a piece of it, and then you pulled away. I just asked you to read it. Let me read it to you. Listen to this. All right, at verse 3. Listen to what it says. All things came into existence through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into existence. What has come into existence? Did you keep reading, though? I'm sorry. That was at the beginning of... No, that was that verse. Not one thing came into existence that has come into existence apart from him making it. Not one.
Exactly.
Everything that has a beginning, he created.
Yes.
Okay, well, you say he has a beginning, so that means he had to create himself.
That's apart from himself.
No, it's not apart from himself.
That's what it says, man.
I'm going to read it again because you want to lie on your text. I'll read it. All things came into existence through him, and apart from him, not even one thing.
I just said that.
No, you did not. What you keep trying to do is you want to pull the middle. You want to actually pull the middle word out and say, see, this is saying apart from him, and you're ignoring
besides
the
him.
Hold on. A front part of the verse, all things came in existence through him. Who's that talking about?
Through Christ.
The word.
Through Christ.
All things. And apart from him, now that pronoun takes its person from its immediate antecedent. So who is that him? So apart from him, apart from who? Apart from Christ.
Apart from Jesus. Not even one thing came into existence.
Okay, I'm going to correct you again, because what you keep doing is ignoring what your own Bible says.
You're trying to say that's saying apart from Jehovah. No, it's saying apart from Jesus. That's what
it's
talking
about. So you're making
it.
Let me show you what you're doing. This passage says all things came into existence through Jesus, and apart from Jesus, nothing is coming to existence that has come into existence. So
exactly. You said it right, finally.
Dude, don't say exactly. Don't say exactly, because, again, you are ignoring what it says. He made everything.
No, I'm reading exactly what it says.
Listen, no, you're not. He made everything, and apart from him, nothing was made. Nothing. All it does is speak to both sides. He made everything. And apart from what he made.
What does apart mean? What does apart mean? What does apart mean?
That means apart from him.
That means separate from him. Apart means separate.
I agree. It means separate from him. But you see, what you're doing is separate from him in the sense of taking him out.
Exactly. So that means if he weren't there, nothing in the system would have been created. That's what I'm telling you.
No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Because you're rejecting a third in there. See, this passage is all about him, not about the exclusion of him, and then you include somebody else in. No. All it's doing is the positive and the negative. All things were made by him. Nothing that has a beginning didn't come from him. That's all. That's all it's
doing. It doesn't say that.
It does say that.
It does. It says all things came into existence through him. It doesn't say had a beginning, so don't add that.
What are you talking about?
It does not say that. You're just telling me all things that came that had a beginning. That's not what the scripture says.
It does say that. It does.
Let's read.
All things came into existence through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into existence that has come into existence.
Okay, so where is what you just said? Everything that had a beginning.
Everything that comes into existence. Listen, dude.
That's not in the scriptures.
You're being silly now. Don't be silly.
It's not in the scripture.
No, don't be silly. Everything that has an existence, everything that came into existence, had a beginning. That's the whole point of this passage, is to point out that everything came into existence. All things were created by him. Everything that had a beginning. You see, because things that don't have a beginning aren't created. And that's what you're trying to hide from. All things with a beginning came into existence through him. And apart from him, not even one thing has come into existence that has come into existence.
Well, he sent his firstborn into the inhabited earth. His first...
Dude, I'm tired of you doing that. Your goal is not to listen, all right? Now, I hated to mute you there, but you start want to talk about something else. Now, I'm going to open your mic, and what we're going to do is, you know, if you want to twist, you can keep twisting in the wind. But what I won't allow you to do is to do what you're doing. You're arguing for the sake of arguing, and then you try to dip off somewhere else. Now, your mic is open. Got to stop that. I'm not going to do silly season, okay? All things came into existence through him, and apart from him, nothing came into existence. Not excluding him. See, that's what you're trying to read. In context, you can't find excluding him, see, because this is your parenthetical phrase. Well, excluding him, because you know he did have a beginning, but excluding him, nothing else came into existence. No, it's not nothing else. It says all things were made by him, and there's nothing that came into existence that he didn't make. All right? But that's not why we came here. I just made you look at that verse because it undermines your adding the word a in a translation. And by the way, there is no indefinite article in the Greek language. There
yes,
is none.
I agree. I completely agree with that.
There is none. So Jehovah's Witnesses arbitrarily added it there. They added it. Yes, they did.
Since you do know Greek, would you agree that there are some English words that are not Greek words? So all we can do is describe them.
No, we don't describe anything. That's not what we do.
You can't translate something that's not?
No, I do. We do translate. We translate.
There are not some words. Some words are not. The English language is a very complicated language, and we are aware that some of the Greek words, just like, for example, love. There's a difference in Greek with your love for your mother and your love for your lover. It's a different word. But we only have one word. So that is a distinct difference right there.
Well, you don't know what you're talking about, okay? I agree with you that there are four different words for love in Greek, but you don't understand the nuances of them. But that has nothing to do with adding an indefinite article. We're not talking about translation.
So that's to tell you that sometimes in translation... Sometimes in translation, the words is just to describe what happened. Okay, so just like when we said, when we were in Hebrews,
Let's move away from that because you know what you're talking about.
Mine said obeisance, yours said worshipped.
No, the Greek word
okay.
is proskuneo.
In Greek, there's two different words for worship. So,
what are the two words for worship?
There are two different words for the word worship in Greek.
What are they?
Am I lying?
What are they?
So you want me to get into that?
Yeah, I do. If you said it, then what I would say is that you should be able to know what you're talking about. And when you actually said it while I was trying to get you away from it. I was like, you don't understand this, so stop.
Okay, the Greek word is prosignisation. That is the Greek, huh? You see that?
Proskuneo.
Okay, that is one of the word worship of the words that mean worship. Okay, and another word for worship would be
Zebomai.
Huh?
How about Yusabel? There are multiple words. That's not the point.
And they all have different meanings.
Yeah, but
so,
that's not the point.
But in the English translation, it would say worship, but the people can't decipher the difference between the two.
Dude, Proskuneo is the word that's used there. It means to worship, to bow down and worship.
Yes. Obeisance means the same thing. Obeisance means to give.
This is something that you and I can agree on. Jehovah's Witnesses, because people worship Jesus, and then what they'll do is they'll say, do obeisance, as if obeisance is different than worship. It's not. It's not. Look the word obeisance up in English. Okay? They chose to use the word obeisance because they think it means something less. All right? But the word proskuneo is the Greek word. That word is also used of worshiping God. Now, the reason why you need to say do obeisance is because we only worship God, and angels always stop people from worshiping them. And you all know that Jesus accepted worship. And so now you're stuck because, if, according to you, Jesus is a glorified archangel, then how can he be receiving worship when worship is reserved for God? I know. Let's say it's obeisance, and people will be fooled because obeisance sounds different in English from worship, so they'll think they're two different things.
Obeisance is honor.
That's irrelevant.
Obeisance means honor. That's all obeisance. A woman gives honor to her husband. That doesn't mean she worships him.
Well, again, you have no idea what you're talking about, so I'm going to offer you again, move away from Greek, because you have no idea what you're talking about. Because if you want to say that, then we're also told we worship God. It's the same word, proskuneo. So we do obeisance to God.
Find that scripture for me, and we'll go there.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to, as I keep trying to get you to do, is, you know, I said in my earlier broadcast, it's foolishness to discuss the things in the Bible, whether or not they're true, with someone who does not understand the Bible. You got to actually hear what I'm saying. It's also foolish for me to sit here and have a discussion about Greek with you, and you know nothing about it. Nothing.
Okay.
That's why I keep offering you back out of there. You don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. All right, anyway, that was one passage I gave you that showed that God put on flesh. All right, now I'm going to give you the other one, because that's what I went here for. The other one I'll give you is Philippians chapter 2. And let me see. Hold on one second. All right. And John chapter 4, verse 20, and I just wanted to give you this. This is when they were talking to Jesus, and Jesus was speaking back to them, to the Samaritans. They said, our fathers worship proskuneo in this mountain, and you Jews say in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to proskuneo. All right? Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem proskuneo the Father. All right? And I just wanted to provide you with a reference. See, that's the same Greek word that's used in the Hebrews 1, proskuneo. All right? And so if you want to say it doesn't mean worship, it just means just give him just a little honor, then we only just give a little honor.
What scripture is that?
I just read to you. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. Jesus said, you worship what you have. You don't know, but we know what we worship. In every one of these passages, he's using the word proskuneo. I'll read it to you again. All right, this is the woman at the well. Our fathers worshiped proskuneo on this mountain. You Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to proskuneo, worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem proskuneo the Father, worship. You proskuneo what you don't know. We know what we proskuneo. Now, if you wanted to be consistent with what they, Jehovah's Witnesses, the little twisting they do, every one of those words would have been the word obeisance, which still means the same thing, but they think that trickery tricks people because the word obeisance looks different to worship. They're synonyms, all right? But you want to make one lesser, then Jesus is talking about giving the Father the lesser in every one of these passages. The lesser. So you can write that down and go and reconcile that later. I just wanted to give it to you because I told you the word was used of worship of God. So why would you translate it something else in Hebrews chapter 1? All right, now Philippians 2 is the other reference that I'm going to give to you for God putting on flesh. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness.
Philippians 2 what? Philippians 2 what?
Philippians chapter 2, I started at verse 5.
Okay, I'm there. Go ahead.
Okay. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men.
Yes.
So here you have God again putting on flesh. That's your, you want one reference, I gave you two. All right.
So now what is, can you give me the Greek word for 6, verse 6?
For which word in verse 6?
For God.
Why would I do that?
I'm just asking.
No, but I'm asking you why.
Okay,
you cannot make a Greek grammatical argument. Okay, let me ask you a question. What is the nominative case?
It says theos again.
No.
Theos,
what is the the suffix is dictated by the case in Greek. In Greek is not like English where, okay, theos means something different than theo. No. Because I muted you, so you can hear this. All the ending of the word dictates whether it's O-N, O-U, or O-S. It dictates whether it's what the case of the word is. Now, you have no idea what the case of a synthetic language word is. Is it nominative? Is it genitive? Is it accusative? That's all that dictates. So don't ask me about Greek and you know nothing about Greek.
Well, I know two things.
You don't know
read
that.
Read that scripture. It says, who, although existing in theos form, gave no consideration to Caesar, namely, that he should be equal to Theon. Okay, so you're trying to tell me that there's no distinct difference between Theos and Theon, but here the word God was used twice, and there were two distinct words.
No, it's not.
How could you tell me that that's true?
Listen, dude. Stop trying to make a case in Greek, all right?
Okay.
Let me explain it to you one more time. The only distinction in whether or not it ends in O-U, O-S, or O-N is the case. It's where it is in the sentence.
So what was the distinction in this two times? Why does one say Theon
and
one says Theos?
Because of a Greek distinction. That's it. You don't know Greek, so I can sit here and blow smoke. Listen, dude, I can blow smoke up your butt, and you would have no idea. All you could just sit here and say is, no. You have no idea. You have no idea.
Well, I know that they're two different words, man.
No, they're not two different words.
And there, every time that even in John 1:1, that separation is there.
No,
and anytime it's in reference to Elohim, God, it's in reference in Greek, theon.
Okay, well, let me clarify for you again. Elohim is a Hebrew word. It's never used in the New Testament. You have no idea what you're talking about. You have zero
Elohim
idea.
Elohim is translated to theon. We know that.
No. Well, Elohim is not translated to theon. What are you talking about, dude? You have no idea what you're talking about. All right?
Okay.
So when you have O-S, O-U, and O-N, it's just nominative, genitive, or accusative. Now, if you know somebody who understands Greek, they can explain that to you. You have no idea what you're talking about. Not only that, the statement that you made is absolutely wrong. Okay? Because it just
really
depends on where it is in the word. The Father is also referred to as theou. Patronos hatheou.
Oh.
In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, you said Tronos is Jehovah God? Isn't that what you said?
No. I said Theon is Jehovah God.
Theon is Jehovah God? What are you talking to? Mm-hmm. You have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm going to let you off of that again. All right, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
In fact, the Father in Scripture, where let me give you a good example. This is what I'm going to do, because I do need to explode that for you, and I don't know why I'm doing this, because I'm actually reading a Greek New Testament now, and I know you don't read it, so it doesn't matter what I say. All right? And so, okay, here we go. Let me see. And 1 Timothy, are you looking at something in Greek? Look up God in the word in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Explodes your myth. Look it up.
Okay. Let me look at 1 Timothy chapter 2.
1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 5.
1 Timothy chapter 2.
Verse 5. And have some integrity.
For there is only one theon and one mediator between men and Jesus Christ. Again, same thing.
I don't even know why you brought that up. Dude, what are you reading?
I'm reading that from. I have a reference Bible that tells me exactly what the Greek word says.
So you're reading Jehovah's Witness notes. Let me read to you what it says in Greek, my friend. All right? Hos pantros anthropou thelai. That's verse 4. Verse 5. Isgar theos. Not theon. It says in verse 5. Isgar theos. Iskai. Mezete, that's mediator, theou. It actually uses two different words. There's one God, theos, and one mediator between God and men, theou. So whoever is, thank you for proving my point. You know nothing about Greek, and you are a slave to Jehovah's Witness notes.
How is that true? It's not what it says.
Dude, I'm reading a Greek Bible. What are you reading? Notes?
What Greek Bible is that?
I'm reading a Greek Bible, a Greek New Testament. Do I need to take a picture of it and send it to you?
I believe you.
Okay, what I'm pointing out to you, dude, is you have no integrity. And that's exactly what I was talking. You have no integrity. You've been sitting here, and I've been trying to let you out of Greek, and this entire time you've been saying theon, and I'm trying to explain to you. You have no
it
idea.
Tells me,
it
tells you that it's
well,
a distinct difference.
Wait a minute. No, it doesn't show you anything. You're dependent. You are a slave to someone else's notes, and you're the slaves to the notes of people who are intent on deceiving you. And that book, whatever that book is, what book do you have? is, whoever wrote that is an outright liar. Take a picture of a Greek Bible. You know what? Go
I know
online.
King James was a liar, too.
I don't care about King James. Go online. There are Greek New Testaments online. Or no, type in Greek interlinear. And that way you can see the Greek word right below the English word. And then look at it and then throw that book away that you have. Throw it away. Because whoever
Let's get to the real point here. You said something earlier that really struck
me.
Hold
on, dude. We're going somewhere else. I'm not going where you go. We're going somewhere else. Okay. I went down that whole road with you, and we're coming up on like the last 15 minutes of the broadcast. All right?
Okay.
I went down that whole road with you, and I'm telling you, I'm really disappointed in the fact that you're sitting here trying to proclaim and trying to make a case for Greek, and you know nothing about Greek, and I'm trying to let you off the hook. And so I literally have to, while I'm talking to you, pull out a Greek New Testament and look at it in order to show you. I can't believe that you even wasted our time with those type of antics. What you should have just said is, look, I don't know Greek. Let's move on to something in English. And we could have done that.
I don't know
Greek. Okay, then don't sit there and quote to me someone else's notes. Because whoever wrote whatever you're holding, and I encourage you, if I were you, I would literally pull up a Greek interlinear online. I would pull it up. And then I'd look at that passage I just gave you. Because whoever gave you those notes or whatever that is sold you a bald-faced lie. Pull it up in Greek and look up the interlinear. And when you see theos and theou, both referring to the same person, neither are theon, there's one theos and one mediator between theou and man. And when you see that, then I would completely toss that book. I would at least redline it as a flat-out lie. Now, you can do that while I'm talking to you. But what I suspect is that you will not do that. Because to you, it's about arguing dogma, not about finding out what the Word of God says. And that's disturbing.
I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm a truth seeker, man. And,
well, no.
And when I say I seek the truth, I look for people's actions before anything. There's not another organization that does what Jehovah's Witness do. And until I see another one doing it on the worldwide scale that they're doing it, I won't believe it.
Hold on. Doing what? What do they do?
Jesus said, you will know my people by the unity of their brothers. And I'm sorry, Christians, common Christians are not united. Simple.
Where's that at? That's because that's not. Scripture doesn't say. In fact, Scripture says that that Christians will be in a state of apostasy prior to his return. But where's that verse you just quoted?
That Christ said that?
Yeah.
Now I got to go to that. I put my Bible down, man.
Well, since that's the that's your problem. Never put your Bible down. It should be the
Because really, again, my thing is based off life. God based things off of lifestyle. And whether you can say whatever you want to say, say whatever you want to say. The only people on the face of this planet that are actively preaching the Word of God are Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay.
Period.
You said that before.
On a worldwide scale.
Okay.
Look this up for yourself.
What do you mean what they're doing? What do you mean by that?
Going door to door. Jesus said, he said, preach urgently. In troublesome seasons and in good seasons, preach urgently, for I am coming quickly. That's in Revelation, my friend.
Dude, where's that at? It is not. You are such a liar. You just mixed two verses in multiple books. You started off with 2 Timothy chapter 4 and then folded in some revelations. You are such a liar. That's how when I ask you a reference, you can't give it. Now,
is it not in the Word of God? Is it not a commandment that Jesus is asking us to do, to preach urgently, door to door? The witnesses are the only people doing that.
It's not. No, it's not. And that's a lie, too. Even your very premise is a lie, because guess what? Mormons go door to door too, and they're growing
not
fast.
To the extent that witnesses do.
Yo,
not
yes,
to the same extent.
Oh yes,
no,
they do. Yes, they
no,
do.
They
well,
don't.
Let's. I'm not even. See, you want to. There you go with your new ones. First, you said they're the only ones who are doing this worldwide, and I point out to you that Mormons are doing it worldwide. And not only are they doing it worldwide, they're growing from it faster than you. Oh, yeah, but they're not doing it to the extent that we are.
Oh,
now,
well, you need to look up what the number one, look up what the number one and number two magazines in the world are, and then your answer will be shown that Jehovah is certainly magnifying himself.
No, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't.
It means a lot.
Especially when. And I'm not going to get to who cares about what the magazines are. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Bigger is not better.
Mm-hmm.
More is not better. Not
only seven. There's only 7 million witnesses.
Seven million
worldwide. That's not broad. That's very few.
Okay, but what did you just say, though? Who has the biggest publication? And which is
I said the biggest publication, the two biggest publications in America, in the world, worldwide, is the Watchtower and the Awake.
Well, big is not better. That's why.
Okay, we know that.
No,
we know that. But the Jehovah's Witnesses are not that big as in population.
Well,
only 7 million.
So don't bring up how big their magazines are. Big is not better.
Well, I'm just saying that Jehovah has magnified himself.
But listen, dude, that's number one. But that's number one. But here's number two for you. Number two is they publish their own documentation, and they actually lie in their own documentation. I actually have Watchtower Bible and Tracts. I actually saved the ones where they change your doctrine. Like right now in the front of the Wake magazine, it no longer makes reference to the 144,000 anymore. That used to be, you see, what it was is that Christ was coming back and the end of this system of things would occur before the last of the 144,000 died. But because just about all of them are dead now and they realize that, they quietly moved it out, but some of us kept it. So when you talk about your magazine is controlled by them. It's deceptive. Why would I depend on what they say about their magazine as if it's truth? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is true. So I determine what's true by the Bible, not by how many magazines, a publication.
Are you in unity? Are your brethren in unity with you? Is your congregation, is your congregation, how can the world come to an end if the whole nations have not heard the truth about God? Is there not an active preaching work done? I mean, come on.
The Bible doesn't say that.
It does say that.
No, it doesn't. Where?
Oh. Doesn't it say from every man and every word and every tongue has to have heard?
Where?
Does it say that? Does it not say that?
Where?
Does it not say that?
No, it doesn't. Where?
Oh, it doesn't say every man and every tongue has to have heard the word?
I'll take another question from you. Put up or shut up.
Okay.
You're spouting witness dogma, and you actually showed your hold card, and I actually talked about this at the beginning of my broadcast this morning too, is that the reason why I said that I won't have a discussion with someone about the Bible who does not accept the Bible to be true is because the more you can prove all you want, and all they'll do is back up and eventually say, well, I never believed that anyway. You've already exposed your hand because a few minutes ago you were like, well, I'm not a witness anyway.
I'm not a witness by lifestyle, not by because I don't believe in it.
Well, that makes zero sense. So are you your congregation?
That means that we're not going to go into my own personal life, but I won't ever let what I do personally affect the witnessing of Jehovah. So what that's saying is I'm not suited right now to be a witness.
Oh, so you're not
just
suited
like
a
person,
be a witness.
A person who calls himself a Christian has to live according to the Christian way in order to be representing Christ. If you're not, then you're giving Christ a bad name. Simple as that. If I'm not living according to a Christian lifestyle, then
I don't disagree with that. But I will tell you this. the Jehovah's Witnesses came into existence. They said the world was going to end in 1914. It did not happen. They said it was going to end in 1916. It did not happen. Charles Taze Russell, in fact, died rather than Christ coming back. So then Judge Rutherford took over, and then they built Beth-Sarem out in San Diego. It's still out there. Beth-Sarem is Hebrew for House of the Princes, because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were going to be resurrected to Paradise Earth and live there, so they built it, and this was supposed to happen in 1925. It did not happen, and the only person who lived there and drove the Cadillacs was not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was only Judge Rutherford, who died while at the house. Then it said in 1942, they said as most recently as 1975, your track record is abysmal.
That's what people say.
Prophet. No, that's not what people say. I actually have the
It's like people say Jehovah's Witnesses are a cult. A cult is somebody led by one person.
That's not true, and I'm not going to even argue that. It's not a matter of me saying they said it. I actually have the watchtowers where they say this, and it was false. So that would make them a false prophet organization. You realize if they were under the old covenant, they would all been stoned to death? And these are the people you say you're following. It's true. Their track record is abysmal. All right? Their Bible has been denounced.
Modified.
By every Greek scholar. In fact, I even have video of the foremost Greek scholar who they referenced in their books. He demanded they stop doing it, and I actually have him on tape holding up saying, this is the most deceptive thing I've ever seen, and they should not be using my name. Julius Armanti, is his name. You can Google him. He's dead now. Julius Armanti, and they used his name, and he had to go to court because they were lying, saying, yeah, Roberts, Manti, all these guys support us. Every one of the scholars they referenced said that they were liars. Every one of them said they were liars. Every one of them, not most of them, every one of them, and in fact put out a book called What Do the Scholars Really Say? And they corrected the lies of the Jehovah's Witnesses. So you want to tell me about the truth of them? Their prophetic record is abysmal. Their Greek translations are not. In fact, the Westcott and Hort Greek text, which I have two of them, I'm looking at them right now, both of which I took from Jehovah's Witnesses because they lost when we went there. But even the Westcott and Hort text, they use them as interlinear, and then they put their false translation words up under the Greek because they know people don't read Greek. It was pure deception, and there were still errors. Have you ever wondered why there's a purple interlinear Greek English and a blue one? The reason why there's a blue one is because people kept exposing the errors in the purple one. So what they did was, rather than acknowledging, well, we were wrong about that, they just came up with a whole brand-new blue one and just changed the errors another direction. There were no translators on the translation committee. In fact, Fred Franz, who was a president, his nephew left there, and he said there were none, and he was on a governing body. And, of course, I have him on video talking about that. So don't tell me about I believe they're sincere. I do. I admire the fact that they go door to door, and they knock, and they are zealous. I often chide Christians that Mormons or riding around in the worst neighborhoods trying to present what they believe to be truth. Nation of Islam stand in suits on hot street corners with exhaust fumes trying their best to present what they believe truth. And I agree, most Christians are absolutely stupid. But what the Bible says is that's going to be the state of Christians prior to the return. It's called the Great Apostasy. The passage that you misquoted is 2 Timothy chapter 4, Verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That is the famine of the hearing of the word identified in Amos 8, 11, and 12. That's not talking about preaching to people outside of the church. He's talking about correcting Christians in this passage. So for you to use it the other way was false. But I enjoy talking to you. Coming up on my last minute of the broadcast, you got any last okay. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to encourage, like I said, I want to encourage all Christians out there, you know, that we're going to have to come together eventually one day, and that's about it. Thank you for your time.
Well, I appreciate that. Just for all the listeners, I am going to schedule at 8:30 a follow-up. Just because it was so chaotic, I want to give a clear, concise teaching why I believe the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, while sincere, I admire their sincerity, they are sincerely wrong, all right? And I want to give a clear, concise accounting of why I hold that position. Thank you again for calling back, Emmanuel. I really appreciate it. Even though it was just chaotic at times, I do appreciate the fact that you called back. I would only ask, and I'll do the same thing. I'll look at anything you ask me to look at. I ask you to do the same. All right?
Mm-hmm. I will.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you all
for listening to the broadcast today. Again, I will be right back out here at 8:30, and I'll be discussing or at least trying to give a clear, concise reason why I hold the position I do as it pertains to this group. So until then, this is Rick Young, the Apologist, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for joining me for today's edition of ARC Studies Live. I'm Rick Young. The Apologist segment focuses exclusively on addressing your questions and comments concerning hardcore doctrinal issues relating to biblical difficulties, countercult studies, and Christian apologetics. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.arcstudies.org. Again, that's www.arcstudies.org.